kind of feel like today is just a typical experience in this season we're in. There's a lot going on, and I want us to just pause and quiet our hearts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks to the Corinthian church. He writes them about communion and what it means, and in some ways correcting them because they were doing it kind of for the wrong reasons and out of selfish motivations. And he reminds them that what we're doing here, this isn't sacred, Christ is sacred. And this is a representation of what Christ accomplished for us on the cross when he died in our place, when he took our sins, literally took our sins, put them on himself, and was punished for them, and took his righteousness. When we applied that punishment, that death, that we put in faith, we accepted what he did as our death, our punishment. He takes his righteousness and puts it on us. And when we do this, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:26, he says, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death," and here's a great promise, "until he comes." This is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent means coming, arrival. It is the expectation of the light that is coming. O come, Emmanuel. Without Christ, the world is dark. Without Christ, we are in darkness, in our sins. But O come, Emmanuel. Bring the light of Christ, light of life, into our lives. And we do this with hope, with expectation, that this Christ who came to die on the cross will come again to reign and rule as Lord and Savior. And we will be with him. And the loved ones who have put their faith in him will be with him. And we will be together in the presence of God, our Savior, the Holy Spirit, the saints who have gone on before us. So this morning, when we celebrate communion, let us keep it in that context that we live in this time of in between. Christ's first coming, which gives us life, and his second coming, where we're ushered into eternal life. And right now, we live in this hope, this expectancy, this trust that God is at work. On the night that Christ was crucified, he took the bread and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you." He bore our sins through his bruises and on the cross. After supper, he took, in the same way, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant which is in my blood. Whenever you drink it, you do this in remembrance of me," that he not only bore our sins, but we are covered, washed, in a sense, with his blood and his righteousness. So now God the Father no longer sees our sins, but through the blood of Christ sees us with Christ's righteousness. What a blessed hope. What a blessed hope that we have in Christ. We're going to celebrate communion. I'm going to ask the men to come forward and help me out here. And what I'd like to do is if we would come forward and receive the elements. We'll start from the front pews, if you'll come forward when the men come on up. And guys, if you'd come on up. And then as the front pews will come forward, you can receive the elements. And what I'd like to do, you can either go ahead and take the elements back to your pews and eat and drink on your own as you pray before the Lord, or you can wait at the end and we can do it together. Leave that up to you. But we want to celebrate this morning, to remember the hope between these two Advents that we have. There's also, I'll mention, glucose-free bread if you need gluten-free choice is available over here. Bob will be holding the gluten-free bread. Oh, Father, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you. We trust and hope of your certain return as we share together at this table. We are thankful for what you have done. We are hopeful for your certain return. We ask that we would receive afresh your forgiveness. Confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have sinned against you by what we have done and what we have left undone. We live today in the light of Christ and the hope of his certain return and the forgiveness that we receive through him. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of life that was given and earned through your first coming, death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you for the hope of eternal life and reunion with our loved ones, with you, and with our Heavenly Father and your second coming. May we be found faithful to live fully for you today, the bread of Christ, which is broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. This season, we're going to be celebrating the voices of Advent and have our first voice, the voice of Isaiah.
I must confess, there are times when I grow weary of being a prophet. It is a thankless job and a lonely one. Day after day, I wander up and down the streets, calling, crying, sometimes raving and screaming. Isaiah the crazy, they call out. Or worse, Isaiah the woeful, I'm ready to quit. But God has not yet accepted my letter of resignation. Forgive me, I jest about matters too sobering humor. To have a certainty in your very soul of God's will for your people, and to know that no one else see or understands or even cares, well, you would cry too. I can't help it that God shows me how far these people have wandered from the truth. And so I go on, proclaiming, warning, and in general, being ignored. I'm not as gloomy as they would hate me. There is a simple but joyful message that God has also sent me. And in that alone, I can find reason to hope and to carry on. Despite the calamities and the judgments to come, God has promised us a Messiah. Just listen to the words that I would share. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Ah, that I should live long enough to see this blessed child. Perhaps I shall. Perhaps not. Well, maybe it doesn't matter whether I see the child, because I know. Where others simply have to believe me or the other prophets, I can know for certain. And that knowledge gives me such great hope for the redemption of God's people. Through hope, I can believe that God will overcome the evils of the world. Because I have hope, I light this candle of hope.
You know, I really enjoy celebrating Advent as part of the overall Christmas celebration. And Owen did a fantastic job of portraying Isaiah this morning. Thank you, Owen. You know, our world has commercialized Christmas so much so that what used to be a fairly sacred time of the year is now only talked about in terms of company profits, consumer spending, Hollywood blockbusters, TV events, finding the right gift or buying the newest gadget, or even 24/7 holiday music. Even those of us who still celebrate Christ Mass, the birth of the Savior, we too can get wrapped up in all of the commercialism and the busyness. But Advent causes us to stop. It allows us to relax, to focus, rest, meditate, celebrate the birth of Christ. During this first week of Advent, our focus is hope. But what is hope? You know, hope is a misunderstood word. We use the word hope in a way that carries a lot of uncertainty. It's kind of like me saying, I hope the Steelers win the Super Bowl. You might be thinking, I hope the Steelers get to the playoffs. Or you might not be thinking that, but you should be thinking that. You know, I hope that one day we will be able to build on a multi-purpose ministry center to this church. But our hope, the way we use the word hope, is not the same way the Bible speaks of hope. The Bible speaks of hope as something that is certain to happen because God said it would happen. We could call it confident expectation. Hope is closely related to faith. Faith is trusting in and acting on what God has said. Hope is similar in that it also involves us trusting in what God has said, but there is a unique and powerful difference. Here's an example of faith, and we see this in Matthew 6:23, where Jesus is teaching, and he says to the people around him, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," and all of these things, and in context, all the things you need. Nope, we lost it. All right, I won't move. Hope. I hope this works. Okay. The difference between hope and faith. Christ says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added on. There is a trusting in what God says, but faith involves me acting on that hope. That I have to first seek the kingdom of God, and then all of these things will be added unto me. Where hope, it carries with it, it's not about me. It's not about what I do. It's a confident expectation in God's promises. Look, if you would, open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to look at these two verses that Owen quoted here in verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah chapter 9. Now, you might remember, you might not, that Isaiah prophesied about 700 years before the birth of Christ. Yet more is spoken about the person of work in the book of Isaiah than any other book in the Old Testament. The job of a prophet in the Old Testament was to deliver God's message to God's people. And more times than not, that message included judgment, convicting the people that they had living in sin and rebellion, and that there was a judgment to come because of their sin and rebellion. And as you can imagine, it's not really a popular job. I mean, nobody likes anybody pointing out our faults, right? I mean, that's kind of, we don't typically are fond of people who say, you're sinning, you know? But along with that message of speaking God's word, it's also the message of God's hope and God's promise. I remember reading this week. Isaiah, the tradition has it that they so rejected his message and his confrontation that they took him and stuffed him inside of a hollow log and then sawed him in two. He was martyred for speaking the truth in God's message. In Hebrews chapter 11, the great Hall of Faith chapter, it talks about those who were sawn in two and yet believed and had hope in what God was going to do. Isaiah prophesied in the time, it was shortly after that the Babylonians had come and taken away the 10 northern tribes. And the two southern tribes, the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, were at a time where they thought, okay, we're next. The enemies are at the door. The we're going to be taken down. And Isaiah comes and says, yeah, you know what? Because of your rebellion and your sin, God is going to allow judgment unless you return to him. But it's also a message of hope and a promise. Isaiah speaks of God's grace and his salvation for sinners, and he speaks of God's ultimate redemption of his people. And that ultimate redemption is what we see here in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In the increase of his government and the peace there will be no end. And on the throne of David, over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is a promise of God that has been partially fulfilled. A child was born, but he has not yet set up his kingdom completely. It's obvious. Look at the newspaper. The governments do not rest upon his shoulders. He does not currently rule over all the earth. I know, ultimately, God is in sovereign control of everything. But right now, because of sin and Satan and rebellion against God, God's rule is not the order of the day. Christ does not yet reign in the hearts of all people. One day, though, Christ will return, and this promise will be completely fulfilled. But what about today? What about this time that we live in, this in between these two advents? What part of this promise that we see here in Isaiah can we hold on today? Where can we find hope? And how does that hope strengthen us in our walk today? What is my response to hope? I confidently expect that the Lord will bring about all that He has promised. Hope is confident expectation. Hope says one day Jesus Himself will return and fix this world's mess. Hope is a confident expectation of the fulfillment of promises. The fulfillment of these promises are not based on what I do, but only on what God will do. Hope requires that I wait upon the Lord. A promise with actions requires my faith, that I step in faith based on the promises. Hope requires no action. Hope is merely confident expectation in what Christ will do. Sometimes, no matter how much we believe and trust the promise of a God, things don't happen when we want them to, the way we want to. No amount of faith can bring about the promise of a God in your timing, in your terms. Still, there is great strength and freedom in hope. There is great strength and freedom that hope can give us day by day. In this start of Advent, I want us to see how hope can make us stronger and empower us. This first week of Advent, I want us to remember that for the Jews, thousands of years, they held out hope of the Messiah to come, and that hope was fulfilled in Jesus' birth. That pushes us to confidently look forward, as Paul says in Titus 2:13, we look forward with hope, waiting for our hope, for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. The first Advent was the birth of Christ. Makes us look forward with hope and anticipation to His second Advent, His sure and certain return. Since God followed through with His promises on the first Advent, He will do so again when Jesus comes back. Israel's hope was in the first Advent. Our hope is in His second Advent. Let me suggest to you four ways that hope makes you stronger. Four ways that hope makes you stronger. First, hope motivates you to keep looking forward expectantly. Hope reminds us that the future is not so much brighter because one day, excuse me, let me restate that. Hope reminds us the future is brighter because one day every knee will bow before God. Hope is our motivation to not let today's worries, today's hurts, today's frustrations or temptations become the focus of our lives today. Keep looking forward. Keep praying. May Your kingdom come soon, Lord. Keep asking God to do His work in the world, in your life, in the lives of the loved ones. Bill Hybels, a pastor, many of you know his name, author, large church out in California. After one baptism service, he writes about one experience he had. He says, after the service, I bumped into a woman in a stairway who was crying. I thought this was a little odd since the service had been so joyful. I asked her if she was all right. She said, no, I'm struggling. She said, my mom was baptized today. I prayed for her every day for almost 20 years. The reason I'm crying is because I came so close to giving up on her. At the 5-year mark, the woman said, who needs this? God isn't listening. At the 10-year mark, I said, why am I wasting my breath? At the 15-year mark, she said to herself, this is absurd. At the 19-year mark, she said, I'm just a fool. But I just kept praying. She just kept praying. Even with weak faith, she just kept praying. And then God gave life in Christ to her mother on year 20. And she was baptized that day. The woman said, I will never doubt the power of prayer again. hope understands that if all I can do is pray and wait, then that is what I will do. I will believe that the Lord will hear me and will respond. Hope keeps me looking forward. Where's your hope today? For some, do you even have the hope of hope? There is Christ. What has God said he will do? What or who has he burdened you to pray for that you need to commit yourself to continue, even in weak faith, to pray for? Hope is so practical, so empowering, and there's a second way that hope makes you stronger. Hope encourages you with the fact that God isn't done working yet. God isn't done working yet. Isaiah's prophecy, in a particular from this passage was focused, that we looked at today, was a reminder to Israel that although the world around them was finally coming against them, there was war, desolation, destruction, hunger, and pain, God had not forgotten them, and there was hope for a better world coming. This was their hope. A son is given. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Rule, and his rule will never end. It's almost as if God is saying, don't give up no matter how bad it looks. I'm not done working. We need to remember, too, how bad is your world looking right now? Are your finances hurting? Is school difficult? Is your future path not lining up with the way you thought it would? Are your children rebellion? Is your job a mess? Are you struggling with an ex-spouse? Or health? Is your health declining? Hope is your message today. Know with confidence that God isn't done working yet. As Paul writes in Philippians 1:6, this verse particular points to the second advent, giving us hope when Paul writes, I am sure of this, that he, that is God, is not done with us. God, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. That God is continuing to work and will continue to work in us until that second coming of Christ. Hope is empowering. It helps us look forward. It reminds us that God is far from done in his work. But there's a third way that hope makes you stronger. Hope frees you from always trying to make things happen. This is one of the areas that I struggle in, trying to make things happen. If I just get the right program in place and do the right things, then God, hope gives us that rest. It's not about me trying harder. It's not about my power. It's not about my power. Say that with me. It's not about my power. That, to me, is freeing. There are promises that aren't contingent upon my actions, just upon hope, my confident expectation. Listen to what Paul wrote to the believers in Rome. In Romans 8:37, Paul writes there, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In other words, Paul is saying that you are not an overwhelming conqueror, or that you are an overwhelming conqueror, which is pretty cool. Do you realize that when Paul wrote this, though, he never said you are an overwhelming conqueror because you are so strong, because you're so faithful, because you're so beautiful, because you're so loving, or so effective in your service. He wrote that you are an overwhelming conqueror through the love and power of Jesus Christ. In other words, you are an overwhelming conqueror because of what God does, not because of what you do. Turn to the person next to you and just say, it's not about your power. It's not about your power. It's about God. I don't know about you. I just get freed up. I can feel the tension leaving my body as I put my hope in Christ. I am free to walk in hope,
because the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do. Let the freedom of that statement empower you today to renew your confident expectation in the Lord to do all the things that you can't do. He will do. When God is ready, He will make it happen. Let me give you one more way that hope empowers you to live. Hope forces you to honestly evaluate your walk. Ask yourself this question: do I trust God's word because I can make things happen when I act in faith? What happens to my confidence in God when all I can do is wait? Wait for God to deliver. I don't know about you, but I hate to wait. Do you? I think most of us hate to wait. We hate to think that there are situations in which we are just incapable of doing something about. We want to take control. We want to fix it. We want to make it better. In this first week of Advent, as we focus on hope, we need to honestly evaluate our walk. Is your confidence in God strong even when you can't do a darn thing about it? When Isaiah made this prophecy, there were those in Israel who received what he said and those who did not. This prophecy was an encouraging word during a discouraging time. The nation was headed towards enemy captivity because of all, as a whole, it had rejected God. But there was a remnant of people who still followed God, and this prophecy is given to them to keep looking for the deliverance, even though everything in their current situation seems to be going wrong. This remnant had to go through the bad times just like everyone else, but they had hope. A child is born. A son is given. Isaiah would later go on to prophesy to this remnant who kept on hoping, confidently believing in God, that God would do what he said. Isaiah told them in Isaiah 40:31, many of you know this, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like angels. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Being fueled with hope today will allow you to soar, to be renewed, to be relieved of weariness and to walk without stopping. Will you walk in hope? Father, most gracious God, we thank you for Isaiah and his prophecy and the fulfillment that has already taken place through your birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the life he offers. But Lord, may our hope be fixed wholly and completely upon you and his promised return. Lord, we can't do this on our own, but you are at work, and we trust you. We know the world is a mess, but you are coming back, and we trust you. Lord, help us to keep our hope fixed on you. Help us, Lord, to be a message of hope to those who may have even lost the hope of hope. We ask this in Christ's name.